Hey, hello and welcome to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. My name is Justin McClintock, and today on the podcast, we have Coach Casey Bennett. Casey is a 101 coach based out of Wilmington, North Carolina, and we talk about, first of all, what it's like to work your way from an intern all the way up to head coach of a CrossFit gym in Massachusetts, and then move across the country, not even knowing if you have a job, continuing to make those kinds of scary decisions, including coming face-to-face with your own disempowering beliefs, and working through that, learning to view every setback and every failure as an opportunity, and how she uses these powerful life lessons to guide her clients in both her personal and professional life to results unlike most can ever hope to see. Casey is a friend. She's a colleague. I'm very excited for this one. Coach Casey Bennett on the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. Casey Bennett, welcome to the Feel Strong Podcast.
Thank you, Justin. Fun fact, first podcast ever.
First podcast in this day, in the year of 2023? I thought there were rules where people had to at least like have one in their backyard or something.
I don't follow those rules. I actually was Googling how to connect these AirPods to my laptop just before I hopped on here. So if that doesn't set the tone for where we're at, I don't know.
In some ways, I'm a little bit jealous that you haven't had to do all. I wish I could like take the camera and like back up and like, I've got a setup here. There's a soundboard. There's multiple lights. There's a whole thing. I've got a microphone on a big old thing. I got a whole thing here, and it's been a thing for at least 3 years. So in some ways, I'm a little jealous that you're like, oh, no, I've never had to do this before.
I have to earn my stripes. These aren't even my AirPods. I'm literally borrowing them. And I had to ask the person if it was gross if I borrowed them. So here we are.
Well, and away we go. We have, so Kate, we've known each other for a year, something like that, maybe a little bit more than that.
Yeah, just about a year.
We've known each other through the ALP program, but you've been on a journey of personal growth for a little bit longer than that. I feel like it's been about 2 years, right?
Yes, just about 2 years. I kind of mark my before my cross-country move and after cross-country move as where I determine my points of my life. So I would say, 2 years about.
And I would like to, I'm going to ask you about that dividing point, but I know you were coaching at CrossFit in Massachusetts, correct? And you went through the whole intern to part-time coach to full-time coach to head coach. For many people, that's the idea. Like, you made it, you got there, nailed it, things are going pretty well, and Casey decides to move across the country. What precipitates that?
Deciding to take a deeper look at what is actually going on was really what kicked things off. I wouldn't change a thing about my journey from intern to part-time to full-time to head coach at CrossFit till it laid my foundation. It gave me an idea of why I want to help people in the fitness industry. Leading up to that, my life really had nothing to do with fitness. I was a gymnast growing up from age 4 to 12. So I had the discipline laid down in that foundation, but you're still so young from 4 to 12 that unless you're going to take it all the way and actually be a gymnast for the rest of your life, you kind of pick and choose what it gives you and your personality traits and whatnot. For me, it gave me discipline. It also kept me from really feeling emotions. And I know that now as an adult, as a kid, it was just a feeling that I had, never to follow through with the tears that were right on the brink of falling out of my eyes. So take that a little bit further down the line as I'm going through this process of becoming a fitness professional. One thing I valued about CrossFit Tilt was that they always called us professional. So it's kind of our journey to become the kind of professional that we wanted to. And knowing that I was able to do good by this professional company and help people and help them achieve their goals and be part of something so community-based and thoughtful and just something that people were proud to be part of. I am and always will be. But underneath that all, I wasn't addressing my emotions. How was I feeling? What was I actually going through this process? So when I started to do that, I started to realize that the happy-go-lucky Casey, which I'm very proud to be, that people often see first, became the person that people expected from me. And I would do anything to meet those expectations. And along the way, found it very challenging to actually understand how I was really feeling. Amidst the craziness of COVID, I don't think anybody really knew how they were feeling or what was going on or anything like that. So having to dive into my emotions and also manage everybody else's as head coach of a gym, it's very easy to lose yourself in that position.
In some ways, it's attractive to lose yourself in that position, for especially if you are trying to and have been trained to sort of pull away from emotions, you know, fully investing yourself in serving other people and trying to solve their problems, both personal and professional, can be fairly attractive.
It makes it easier sometimes. It makes it easier sometimes because it gives you the opportunity to step back and listen and really understand the situation that's going on in front of you. What am I helping this person with? What do they actually need from me? What are they saying, but what do they mean? And not having that emotional response immediately to them and giving them space to have their emotions, it's been really helpful. But creating space for myself the same way I create space for other people has always been something that has taken extra thought and effort to make sure that I do.
And how do you, without diverging too far from how we got from there to here, how do you do that? Because I'm here to tell people who haven't had a lot of experience, like happy-go-lucky Casey shows up most of the time and is very supportive and giving and spends a lot of time sending resources out to other people.
I'll tell you what I did, and then I'll tell you what you can do, because those aren't necessarily the same thing. So my fiance, Mick, and I decided in 2021 that we wanted to move. We wanted to escape the cold winters of New England. We wanted to get a different experience. We wanted to try something new. Seasonal depression got old for both of us. It really wasn't something that we were looking forward to doing again if we had the choice to go elsewhere. One of our clients was actually moving back to Georgia. And they were like, hey, you want to come with us? And they're like, oh, that would be really cool. And then we paused and we thought, wait, that would be really cool. So we started to look it up. Georgia's the kind of hot that I'm going to complain about. So no offense to Georgia. I love it. It's gorgeous. To me, I don't want to complain every day of my summer life. So what we did is we explored a little bit of the southeastern corner of the U.S. We vacationed to Wilmington, North Carolina. We went to Asheville thinking that was where we were going to end up living. We love the mountains. We love to adventure. We flew home and we decided, I don't really want to live in Asheville. What should we do? So we decided to live by the beach because when you have the choice, why not? So what we decided to do to address our emotions or lack thereof at the time was we wanted to move to a sunny place where people seem to love their lives, be that happy-go-lucky version of themselves, take a walk on the beach after work, not deal with that seasonal depression that you're facing when it's cold and snowy and gross in the Northeast. And we went with it. We just moved. And I will tell you that your problems will follow you.
Even
to the sunny places, they're going to follow you. So while we did get the benefits of being in this sunny, gorgeous place and not feeling necessarily the effects of the seasonal depression or the effects of having to stay inside for so many days, so many hours. But it kind of peeled back another layer to make me dive a little bit deeper. All right, I addressed this thing that I thought was going to help me face my emotions a little bit better. Just dropped my AirPod. Okay. There we go. Still getting used to these things. I addressed this thing that I thought was going to make my emotions feel better, and all of a sudden I'm feeling them deeper. that wasn't supposed to happen. So it gave me the opportunity to decide, what can I do? What else can I do? It's not simply moving yourself to a new place, because that phrase about the grass is always greener, it's real.
And it sounds like it was a positive change, right? You took, so you took a big, scary move, big, scary decision, did a big thing, picked up, moved, sat down, and that was useful and was productive. It just turns out that it was the beginning of changing things. It wasn't, you know, one solution that fixed everything.
It was something I would not change about our decision. I am so happy here. And I'm also so thankful for that being the catalyst for me diving a little bit deeper into figuring out who I am, who I want to be, what I'm feeling, and what version of myself do I really want to put out there for everyone to see, whether it's my friends, my family, my clients, people at the gym that I started working at. I now had a choice and opportunity to almost reintroduce myself to myself. And I would highly encourage everyone to find an opportunity to do that, because it really was life-changing. And it is life-changing. I'm not done yet.
And that's what I want to really dig into. I mean, I'm having flashbacks to like moving schools when I was 14 and suddenly being like, wait a minute, these people, these aren't the people who've been beating me up for 10 years. They don't know who I am. Oh my God. Can I try to be cool? That didn't work, but I got beat up less, but I didn't suddenly become cool or anything. So you've been doing a bunch of things since you moved to Wilmington. And my impression is it's all moved toward kind of discovering more about Casey and moving yourself in the place you want to be. Is that accurate?
That is accurate. And it has been a roller coaster. Again, one that I wouldn't get off, but there have been really enlightening, exciting things that I've learned. And there have been really hard truths that I've had to step up and face. And choosing to face those things is a superpower.
As much as you're willing to share, what are some of those? Or if you had to pick one or two, what's something that was, you know, you came up against and was a real challenge that you realized you had to deal with if you were ever going to move forward?
I would say one of the most pivotal things that I decided to do, I have a financial advisor. She is also a very good friend. She's helped push me to believe in myself in ways that I didn't think I was allowed to. And one of the things that she recommended to me was a Tony Robbins seminar. It's an 8-week seminar. It's geared mainly towards women, but anyone can participate. Mick participated with me, which I thought was very supportive of him to do, but also I wanted him to benefit from this as well. So we went along this journey for 8 weeks. And essentially what we did was identify disempowering beliefs we have about ourselves, ways that they're preventing us from making these power moves and steps forward and living our life in the best way that we possibly can, the way that those things are getting in the way, and how we can rewrite those beliefs into things that are going to propel us forward. So when I started this seminar, every moment I was in it, I was crying. All my emotions have tears. Happy, sad, scared, hungry, all of them, tears. So with this, I was feeling all of the emotions that I've just been holding in for the last 29 years. And it allowed me to figure out where I was standing in my way, things that I could change, not necessarily stand in the mirror and yell these affirmations at myself that would make me question how possible they were. It was simply neutralizing the disempowering beliefs to put me in a position to now see what possibilities are actually in front of me and what I can do with those things. And one of those power moves was joining the Active Life Professional Program. And I remember, I'll never forget this, I started the program, I think July, so almost a year ago, and I didn't jump on the support calls right away. And I won't regret not jumping on them sooner, because it really changed my perspective when I did. But my first call, the one that I finally was brave enough to do after the seminar that I signed up for ALP first. I did this seminar, and then my power moves were going to be, let's get more involved in this community. So my very first call, where I was deciding that I was going to be brave enough to say something, I ended up doing a role play with you, which was one of the scariest but most pivotal moments as being part of this community. And all I will say about that is do the thing that makes you sweat. Do the thing that scares you, because I'm pretty sure since that moment, people haven't gotten a break from hearing my voice on those calls. So thank you. And other people might have a bone to pick with you, but I would say that was the first time that I went out on a limb and really challenged myself to neutralize the disempowering belief of maybe they don't want to hear what I have to say, or I don't know if I know enough yet to participate. And I neutralized those and I said to myself, I have things to say. And if they're correct, they can help somebody. And if they need work, they're going to help me. And from that moment, I've been proven right every step of the way.
That is wonderful. First of all, I did not know that story. So that wasn't a tee up to make Justin look good, though it fills my heart. And I love that because I actually remember that too. For some reason, I remember there were a number of things weird about it, but I was standing in the gym I work at with the laptop like balanced on the front desk between things, but it was important to me that I get on this call. And then suddenly I'm not running the call, and we were involved in this role play, and it was tons of fun and very useful. I had no idea that was your first time speaking up or your first time on a call. So that is, or certainly the effect that it had.
Yeah, I think about that often. And when I hear people going out on a limb and coming off of mute for the first time on the calls, I get that rush back of emotion thinking this could be their moment to start believing in themselves just a little bit more. And it makes the importance of continuing to express yourself in those meetings. Once you say something, you're not done. You're not off duty. If you have something to say, you're always welcome to say it. And you could be the one encouraging someone else to come off mute and take a chance and start their progress as a professional or an athlete, or there was that AirPod again, as an athlete or a professional or whatever position that they're in. So I have waited till this moment to thank you for that.
That's wonderful. I mean, you're absolutely welcome. I had no idea that that's what we were doing in that moment. But to that point, and to your point, and some of the stuff you're working on, that was a selfless give of resources on my part, right? When we had that call, I was actually, I believe I was done with ALP at that point. I think I had graduated and was already out. And I really like showing up on the community calls, hearing what's happening, but partly also a little bit of reaching back. Like part of my instinct is for my whole life, it's always been for a very long time. Like as soon as I get somewhere, it's usually been a little bit of a fight. So I'd like to like reach back and make the ladder a little smoother, or put a handout, or in any way to make that easier. And that's what that was. In the same way, it sounds like that's where a lot of your energy has been going lately. Like, how can I support both personally and professionally is my impression. And certainly correct me, redirect me where I'm wrong. But while you're learning and improving yourself, it seems like a lot of that is, how can I help other people break beliefs? How can I help other people see that there's more possibilities in front of them? And that may or may not be working and spending time with me, it may be doing something else, but having deeper, better conversations and making deeper, better connections with people to facilitate more of this kind of growth.
Absolutely. There's no redirection needed. Being a one-woman army in Wilmington, I mean, I moved myself here. I was planning on not even having a job down here. That's how much of a chance that I was taking. So when I decided to do this and start pursuing a business on my own, it's great because you have to make your own rules. You work for yourself. You do the things that you want to do. And then you realize the true benefit of having a support system around you. Now, I am so thankful and lucky enough that my fiance, Mick, is only supportive. all the time. Even more than I think I deserve a lot of the times. So to make sure that one, you're surrounding yourself with people who are going to cheer for you, keep yourself honest, but also let you know when you are absolutely capable of something, when you're doubting yourself, make sure those people are around you. Now I have one of the best cheerleaders at home and he can do all those cheerleading moves for me. But when I leave my apartment and I'm out in the wild as Coach KCB, sometimes it's hard to make sure you're constantly cheering for yourself. So what I've found along the way is making an effort to build the team of people around you who simultaneously think you're the shit and want to see you do better and be better and grow and never stop growing. That's a game changer. That wasn't going to fall into my lap. That stuff's not going to come to me. Things might happen, like you might hop on a call one day and pull me out of my comfort zone, and that's where things could pivot. But if I didn't put myself in the position to be exposed to potential teammates, that never would have happened, and I might not have been able to make the next power moves and be confident moving in the direction that I am in. So what I'll say is when you feel like you're alone in whatever you're doing, it can be in the fitness world, it can be in a relationship, it can be whatever. When you feel like you're alone, you have to actively seek out your team. Thankfully, I now have several hundred amazing teammates, and I could not be more thankful for that. On the flip side, if you start to build your team and you don't feel fulfilled by your team, build a new team. Look elsewhere. Pivot. You get the choice to put the right people around you. And if you take that opportunity, you not only get to develop yourself into the person that you really want to see, but you then get to have that effect on other people. And I feel like being immersed in these calls and hearing other people's opinions and giving feedback and not being afraid to give honest, genuine feedback, the effect you can have in helping someone see through a situation or understand something in a way that they haven't before, or just feel like they're part of the team as well, all of those things come together to be the most powerful experience in self-progress and self-growth.
And some of that comes from being able to speak from experience, right? Like being a one-woman army and running this business and doing these things and making these moves. And because I've had this experience, I don't know how many times at this point, speaking to a small business owner or a coach who's trying to do something in a place and they feel like it's not working, or they're not fulfilled, or they're burned out, or they're overworked, or all these things are happening. You say, hey, this gets real lonely sometimes, doesn't it? And sometimes people just start crying, and sometimes people, like, their jaw drops. Wait, everyone feels this way? Yeah. Everyone feels super lonely, and there's a bunch of people who don't think there's anyone they can ask questions to, and they're making it up, and they're Googling things, and they're making assumptions, and you don't have to do any of that. You can deliberately find a team. You don't have to hire them. You don't have to pay for them. You can surround, you can find these people. They exist, and part of it is being willing to give of yourself without wanting things in return also, and find these other people who are on similar journeys or have done similar things, are interested, even if you're just value aligned, not necessarily on the same professional journey per se, but these are the people who will give you energy and help you continue doing this kind of work. And if, to another point, if you find people who are doing the opposite, who are sucking your energy and limiting you, and like removing them from your circle is actually a public service. You're doing good for other people as well as yourself, because it's going to let you be a better version of yourself for the rest of the world and show up in the way you want to show up. So I had this conversation about 2 years ago with an owner about firing a gym member. It's like, we need to getting this person out is going to make 175 people better human beings. We're being really, really, really selfish by not doing it right now. And we did. And it was great.
Doing the scary thing or the thing that you think people aren't going to be okay with, or wasting time worrying about what other people might think about what you're doing or saying, is stressful. And to actively choose to add stress to your life when we're all just trying to live our best life, it seems simple to just avoid those stresses, but it's something that we continuously do to ourselves. So one thing that I've hammered into my head over the last 2 years of just being in this new space, and it's very cliche, but you cannot pour from an empty cup. And I like to compare people who kind of suck the life out of you as like drinking out of your cup. They're taking it out of your hand and they're taking a big old sip and you're left with an empty cup. And being someone that is fueled by helping others, I'm not going to stop doing that. What I have stopped doing subconsciously is taking care of myself. So over the last 2 years, it's been pause, remove the people who are drinking from that cup that have not necessarily been given permission to do so. Take some time to fill that back up and now genuinely enjoy pouring into the people who you've chosen to surround yourself with. And to realize that you have that power and you have that control is so freeing. And there are still days where I'll hesitate to make a decision or to cut someone or something out of my life that's sucking the life out of me, but it's a learning process. It's not something you're just all of a sudden good at. You might get better at it in certain situations, but as you learn to say yes to the things you want to say yes to, or even say no to the things you want to say no to, it becomes less of a chore and it becomes more of an empowering choice that you get to make and that you want to make, because in the end, you have this nice full cup and you are the best version of yourself. And I never really got a full taste of what that was like until I started doing it. Am I great at it? Mm-mm. But I'm getting better, and that's something that I've taken the opportunity to congratulate myself for.
And I think that's well earned. And to be clear, some people are very, very good at it, but one of the tricks of improving at this kind of work is recognizing when it's happening. And that's one of the hardest things for people to do is, and we talk, and I mean, certainly on the podcast and social media and Feel Strong talks everywhere about how we use language and how you talk to yourself and how you talk to others and, you know, reframing that. And one of these things, you can practice this stuff. You can practice it in a mirror or in a voice memo or, you know, record a podcast that you're never going to publish. I may have done this a number of times of like saying the thing like, hey, I'm really sorry, but I don't think we're going to be able to work together. No, that's not what I mean. I'm not sorry, but we're not going to work together. Okay. So I really don't think we're a great fit at this time. No, that was too. This isn't going to work right now. Unfortunately, we won't be able to work together. However, I have two referrals I'd love to make for you. Would you like that? Great. That'll
powerful.
Work. That's what I'm going to do. And I practice it 4 or 5 times, and then it gets better and it gets better. And now it's like, now it's just auto. Now that I can just draw that at any time. Say, oh, well, this isn't actually going to work for a number of reasons, but I have some people I'd like to refer you to. Can I make a call? Can I make an appointment for you? Can I make an introduction? Not just not me, but I'm going to walk you to the place that I think you will also thrive because you need help that I can't give you and won't give you. But that doesn't mean you don't deserve help. So let's make this work for everybody.
Absolutely. And the difference between ruminating and obsessing over what you might say and practicing what you might say is saying it.
Yep.
First, getting it out of your head and into your body and coming out of your mouth, whether it's practicing with people who are on your team, like I was lucky enough and am lucky enough to be able to do, or it's just saying it in the circumstance with the person that you want to say it to. If it goes well, great. If it doesn't go well, you know for next time. Every decision that you make is an opportunity for you to learn and grow. Did that sound how I wanted it to sound? No. Okay, now this is an opportunity for me to potentially practice an apology, take a little bit of weight off that person and express it in a different way. Or maybe this relationship doesn't continue because of what I said and I learn for next time. We're not always going to say the right thing. And even the thing that we practice in the mirror 20 times might not be the thing, because in the end, it depends on the person that you're talking to. So develop your intentions around your values, say the thing that you want to say, and you'll get better at saying the thing and taking care of yourself with those things.
And continuing to improve. That idea that every failure is truly an opportunity resonates very deeply with me, like just a pile of failures partly. But recognizing that in movement and exercise, recognizing that in professional, you know, exploits and achievements, certainly recognizing that in your personal life, like every time something doesn't go well, you're allowed to feel bad about it. It's okay to be frustrated. It's okay to be in pain. It's okay to be sad. It's okay to, you know, wish it hadn't happened. But I think it is incumbent upon you to also feel those things, but take a little bit of a step back. And this is where some of that early emotional training of your younger life might be helpful. And it certainly resonates with me a bit, being able to step outside a little bit. Okay, this was terrible. I can learn something from this. This can make me better. It is a sharp moment that I can really use to make the next thing and the next thing and the next thing better. What can we glean from this? Because this is a huge opportunity, and I'll be damned if I'm going to go through something this painful and not create something out of it.
Absolutely. And to allow every situation to come as it will, when I do take... when I do take a step back and allow the person in front of me to have their emotions, or allow my emotions about something to sit and settle and try and understand them, I'm not always doing it well. Sometimes I'll have tears in my eyes while I'm telling myself I'm being strong about something. And oftentimes I think the combination of being able to step back but still feel, most powerful combination. It humanizes you, but it also makes you the rock that people can cling on to for support, and having them understand that you are a human and you do make mistakes and you do have emotions. We don't want to be those cold robots that just take in information and spit out the right answer. We want to be able to not only hear the emotion, either coming from ourselves or from the person that we're talking to, be able to process it and empathize with it, and be able to give them the space that they need to feel, and then either guide them through question of what comes next here, or give 2 cents if there's room for it.
And that specific giving of yourself, I think, is also really important, because it gives you the option to pick and choose exactly how much you're going to share, right? It doesn't mean you need to be an open book ready to have your heart ripped out at every interaction. That for most people, that's not always going to work particularly well. But there's a lot of gray area. There's a lot of just being the, you know, as you said, sort of the scientific data collection where, oh, you did this, and this happened on this movement, and you did this for your squat, and you slept this much, and I collected this from your Whoop, and this was what your MyFitnessPal said, and therefore, here's your program. Sometimes you have to be like, hey, so you had mentioned fighting with your husband about which show you were going to watch. It's the third time you've mentioned it in 3 weeks. How are things? And they can share as much as they want to share. And you can say, I had a fight like that once, or this resonates with me to whatever degree you want to. It doesn't mean you need to share everything. But there's an element here that I really resonate with. Have you tried this? Have you considered this? And recognizing that that is well within scope and maybe the most powerful interaction you're going to have with this person.
I love that you bring that up, because I would say that's one of the newer things that I've learned since being involved in active life, is the importance of everything outside of the exercise. Since my start with this curriculum, there are a good chunk of my sessions with my clients that don't start until 25, 30 minutes into the session, because there's a conversation that we need to have. And the exercise that would follow it wouldn't be what it needs to be if that conversation was not had. We can look at it as a conversation we need to have, or we can keep having them, and then it's a conversation that they want to have. I have clients that come through the door, and despite the emotion that comes along with it, they know that it's a safe space for them to express the way that they're feeling. I'll also ask some questions that encourage them to dig a little bit deeper. You don't have to tell me the answer now, but this is something that I want you to think about. If you want to talk about it now, there's space. And then we check in. How are you feeling now? Is there anything else that you think would be helpful along the lines of this conversation? No? Great. Let's grab some water. Let's get moving. And 99.9% of the time, everything's going to go better because of that conversation and that space.
Now, I understand, but will you unpack for people, why does it go better? If I show up for a 55-minute exercise session, because I came in with goals and I want to be stronger and I wish I could get back to running and I've been meaning to lose this weight for 3 years and I'm paying a bunch of money to Coach KCB to get better, and I walk in and I have a 25-minute conversation. I'm sitting down. Why are the next 30 minutes more valuable because of it?
The common misconception is to get the most bang for your buck, you need to get the sweatiest. You need to move for the most amount of minutes, and you need to fill the hour with as much exercise as possible. That could be effective for someone that comes in with no stress outside of this session. They're eating perfectly. They're sleeping 9 hours a night, and everything is sunshine and rainbows outside of those sessions. But since we're all humans, chances of that scenario outside of your session are slim to none. So when we address those stress, there's that extra load that gets put on us outside of that, it allows the exercise to be more effective. If I'm overfilling myself with excess load outside of our session, if I'm not sleeping enough, if I'm not eating to sustain the training that I'm doing, and then I start to do an hour of hard exercise and I don't address those underlying things, that underlying stress, that causes overflow. That's where injury happens. That's where we stop being productive and we start taking steps backwards. So for us to take the load off of our clients or off of your friends or off of your significant other, whoever, if you can have those conversations that decrease the load that they're taking on, they're going to generally live more comfortably, but be able to push themselves more now that you've helped them free up that space.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And to pin something on the end of that, it will, letting them unload creates more capacity for them. And especially in a one-on-one situation with someone like yourself, with a coach who understands, is educated, and has the resources to deal with it, now you can change everything that's about to happen. And I imagine because it happens with me all the time, you have a 20-minute with conversation with someone, you might throw out the plan for the day. Like, oh, well, we're not doing that. Because that would be inappropriate. It would be too much, or it would be not enough, or it'd be not the right things, or we need to either, you know, somewhere between fine tune and completely rebuild what the plan is so we can meet you exactly where you are to give you exactly the right amount of challenge so you can adapt and change and get better and leave here 1% stronger, 1% faster, 1% closer to your goals than you were when you walked in. But if we stick with plan A and pretend that the rest of your life isn't happening, then first of all, why bother hiring a coach? Just ask AI to give you a squatting program and move on with your life. But it's putting a ceiling on your progress in a very real way. Pretending that you're exercising in a lab and sticking to this, you know, program without letting things affect it will significantly limit your progress forward in a way that people often have a hard time wrapping their brains around.
I would agree with that. Even to the point of zooming out and looking at the client's journey altogether, not necessarily that day specific to their goals. If we're doing that consistently, let's say someone signs on to be your client, and as you start to train, you're learning more and more things about them. You're realizing that sessions are often starting with 20, 30 minute conversations to dig deeper. It would be a really responsible thing to take a pause and chat with your client about, we might need to rethink some of your goals and priorities. If they came to you with a certain goal without you understanding all these underlying things, And we had the impression that 3 months would be a decent amount of time to achieve these goals. But then we start to uncover that there's a lot more to this, a lot of things that might be standing in the way of 3 months being enough time to first apologize to them. I'm sorry, I didn't realize that there were some other things that we would need to take into account here. I want to make sure that we're clear on what's possible here. You are capable of progress. I want to make sure that I help you set realistic expectations based on the work that we've been doing. And I don't think anyone's going to be disappointed at the person that has enough information about them to guide them in that direction. Oh, I can't get my 250-pound back squat in 3 months because now I need to figure out my home life. Things are going to be better when you give them that attention. A 250-pound back squat and peace at home, I think one is a little bit more invaluable than the other.
That was beautifully said, Casey. So if you're a coach out there listening to this, just, reverse a minute and a half or 2 minutes and listen to that a couple of times. This is a thing that I would practice saying to people. And for almost all coaches, but many people, because you can have this same conversation in your personal life, or if you're not a coach, in your professional life, whatever it is that you do, it's a very scary conversation to consider having, because people will often the fear is that you are pushing the person away, or that you've failed them, or you're not doing the thing that you said you were going to do, and they're going to fire you or leave you or whatever that is. Overwhelmingly, if you do that, and it's true, and you're showing it with empathy, and you have this information, and you're doing it for the right reasons, because this is, one, this is the right thing to do, two, it's the truth, three, if this really is this person's goals, this is the only way forward that I see. I understand we're going to have to walk through some of this stuff, and we're going to get, a little bit muddy on the way there. People will be shocked that it's happening, because almost no one in their life has ever spoken to them this way. People don't show up for them like this, certainly not people that they pay, right? Maybe, possibly some therapists, possibly a few other people, but overwhelmingly, people are not showing up and supporting them in this way, and it will set you apart radically. One out of every 30 people will freak out and fire you. It's all right, but you had determined it wasn't going to work anyway. So it is the only professional option there is to do what you just described, and then hopefully you have the space to move forward, and you've earned so much trust doing that, that now you actually have the space to do some potentially challenging but really rewarding work.
You've earned trust from them and from yourself. When you make those decisions and they work the way that you intended because you genuinely care about the outcome of this situation, you're going to trust yourself to continue to do that for the people who trust you enough to work with you in the first place.
Yeah, I completely agree. So tell the people, because there's 8 out of 10 people listening right now just want to work with Coach Casey, and you probably should. So tell them a little bit about what your coaching looks like, who you work with, things like that.
So right now I am both in person and remote, and it's a party. Now we start off with some more individualized things. That's what the difference is here, is anyone that signs on to work with me is getting that individualized program, that individualized attention. We talked a lot about the fact that the actual fitness program is just a puzzle piece in the whole system. So before we even start together, people are well aware that that is simply a portion of what we're getting after. And a lot of it is attention on our lifestyle factors and the way that we can absolutely crush it in the 23 hours outside of the gym. And also the 1 hour inside of the gym if we get there. With the individualized start, we're looking at a flexibility and mobility screen. I do that with my remote clients as well. I just can't be there to conduct it, but there are ways for me to find out this individual information about people who aren't necessarily there in the room with me as well. That's just to get an idea of where we're starting physically. I can't help you build your strengths if you don't have the necessary flexibility that you need to get in certain positions to build that strength. On top of that, we're looking at your breathing style, How are we breathing? Are we breathing effectively? It's something we do all day long, all the time. And a lot of us aren't able to do it the most effectively. So we talk about that and we take a deep dive into your lifestyle. How's your sleep? What are you eating? How's home life? Are the kids driving you crazy? Whatever it is, I want to know all of it, because the more I know, the better I can help you. So we spend a lot of time talking through that. I have an intake form that we fill out. So it's doubling down on those questions. You start to see the importance of all of those things right off the bat. Once we're able to do that and get those evaluations done, we evaluate your strength balance, comparing left to right, squatting to hinging, pressing to pulling, all of those good things, just so I get the full understanding of where we're at, where we can start to help push you to where you want to go. If I start too far down the line and I didn't evaluate you, there's room for injury. There's room for missing the mark. So by doing that individualized evaluation, knowing better where to start, where the responsible place to start is, so we can maximize those results, that's the point of all that individualized bit. So whether it's in person or remote, that's how everyone starts. And then we progress based on where you're at individually. There's no template design, not one size fits all. It comes down to how are you doing with the program that we start out with? What's your recovery like? How are you progressing through it? And if there's any adjustments that need to be made, we get to talk about that on a weekly basis. So it's a very communicative, individualized process. I love over communicating with people. I want to know how you're feeling and I want to know why you're feeling it. If you want to share that with me, great. But just keeping you on track on the fitness portion, but also making sure that you're continuously auditing the other elements of your life and making sure they're what you want to see in your daily life.
It sounds like an incredibly supportive and holistic process.
That is the intention.
All right. How do they find you? Tell them everywhere to go.
All right. Never done this before. I never plugged before. On Instagram, you can find me at Coach KCB. That's B as in Bumblebee. And on Facebook, I didn't memorize my link. So you can find me on Instagram and www.coachkcb.com. That's new. Check it out.
Excellent. And we will put that in the show notes. And when we publish this thing, we'll put out some links with that also so people can go to all of the places. Casey, this has been an absolute joy. Thank you for coming on the pod.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Feel Strong Fitness Podcast. Please subscribe and leave a 5-star rating if you have the time. That makes a really big difference. If you have questions, you want details, DM us on Instagram at FeelStrongFit. There's more information on the website at feelstrong.me. We value effectiveness, individualization, and empathy. See what it's like to have an expert in the field really listen, hear what you need, and build you the perfect program to get you where you want to go. Today is the perfect time to get started. Reach out. We'll be right back.